is a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Matt Stinchcomb is only on the College Football Voice of the South. Presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and ASW Distillery.
Matt Stinchcomb with us each and every Tuesday to talk college football. Matt, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Be gentle with me. I don't cotton well to the no offense taken and then just coming off the top ropes crushing type of comments. Yeah.
Listen, we've all been there, brother. We have all tried to backwalk what has been a front-handed slap.
You're ugly. You smell. You dress strangely. No offense.
I don't mean that in a bad way. Well, of course not.
It's on me if I take offense to that. What was I thinking?
Well, I love what Kirby Smart said yesterday. He wants the crowd to get out there just like the Notre Dame game. And I admire the challenge, but let's face it, that's probably not going to happen against South Carolina.
No, probably not. And, you know, it's tougher because what time's kickoff for that game?
12.
High noon.
It's 12.
High noon. And so I got to tell you, the LED lights and are awesome. They're not going to look as good at noon. So,
I don't think the student body.
The club never really works that club look during the day.
I'm not sure if they wake up for class. I'm not so sure Saturday is the time you really want them out rip roaring in your building.
Yeah. I mean, there's less evaluation of your knowledge, I think, during a game, though, which I think might be part of the aversion to going to class. Maybe not. You know, just kind of roll in there and observe, cheer if you like. I think it's great that he did it. I think it makes sense to come out. You know, this is the makings of a special season, and why would you not want to participate in as many of those? And meteorologically, the climate is now, you know, complying with a noon kickoff, whereas a couple weeks ago, even last week was a blowtorch. Do we even know what was going on from a climate standpoint last week? Why was it 95 degrees during the week? It's not going to be that way this weekend. So you can show up for a noon kick, and, you know, you're not going to need two IV bags walking out of the stadium as a fan. You can actually enjoy it.
Quick aside, if I gave you a plus or minus of 2, how many classes do you think you actually blew off at your time at Georgia?
Zero.
You blew off 0.
None.
Did you think about blowing any of them off?
Is it a boring answer?
No. God bless you.
I'm not surprised. That's why you are Matt Stinchcomb.
You're still 18 to 22 years old. As straight-laced and as supermanish as you might be, Clark Kent, was there a moment you thought, you know, I'm going to break the streak today. I'm a junior, and I'm going to blow one of these off.
No. I don't know. Maybe I was paranoid. I think part of it, too, is what's interesting, and you can look at this, and anecdotally, the schools will tell you this, that in-season athletes in general, and this is across all sports, although I'm sure there's some fluctuation, do better because you are so regimented, which that makes sense. And then you enter winter workouts or whatever for the football guys. As soon as the season lets up, that's a challenge because that's a bit of a whipsaw. But because you do well within a regimen, it makes sense to just kind of stick in the regimen, I thought, at least for me. You know, for the prodigies of this world where they can just roll in, and there were some couple of guys on the team, one of my good buddies, smartest guy I know, can barely cross the street but can split an atom just by thinking about it. He didn't have to go to class, and, you know, he rocked it. And meanwhile, the rest of us, we had to muscle our way through it.
Well, Stinchcomb, you're an old soul, so you're not going to miss class. You knew that it was part of being a responsible human being.
Sure,
even though you were
sure.
A kid.
Yeah, well, it was a survival instinct. All my parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, they were all teachers, so it was just kind of part of it. You want to make it out of the house, you go to class.
Did you think that if you blew a class off, as Joe Hamilton told us,
someone would find out?
Hold on, they were going to break your plate? They were going to pull the scholarship back?
No, I don't know that was ever floated out
right
there.
Okay.
I think I saw a lot of evidence where that definitely couldn't have been the case.
Okay.
Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line, talking some college football with the Hall of Famer.
I just got to ask about Jake Fromm, because we've talked about him before the season even started, and I really enjoyed the conversation we had about him. He's not wow, he's not eye-popping, he's not going to be on a top five highlight, he's not going to be this and he's not going to be that. But I do know what he is, and the idea that he's a caretaker is a little bit silly. He doesn't have eye-popping numbers, but I've sort of read this, oh, we've got a caretaker over here. He's a game manager. I think you're selling the young man short at that point.
Matt, if I may, caretakers don't make the throws that he made late in the first half of that win on Saturday.
Exactly. You know, he's not caretaker. I hear caretaker, and, you know, people, in my mind anyway, it's the guy who shows up and opens up and then locks up, sweeps maybe at the end of the day. Meanwhile, all the work, all the flash, all the sizzle is everybody else. You know, I'm just the kind of guy that makes sure that they have access to it. That's not Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm, this offense very much runs through and because of what Jake Fromm is doing. Now, is he capable, if they wanted to open it up, and we haven't seen this, and in fact, I'm hard-pressed to think of many examples where it's, you know, hey Jake, go win it. You know, there was the drive late in the game versus Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl where I think you saw it, where it had to happen. That was the moment where, hey, look, kid, true freshman year, you got to make it happen right here. And he did. There haven't been many instances other than that. And he's had games that weren't great. You know, and you can think about the one, you know, the LSU's where that wasn't great for almost anybody on the field. But he is highly undervalued in an age where it's all about the box score, where there's eye-popping numbers, where you look at, you know, what a Jalen Hurts is doing in a conference where they play defense out of obligation only. When you look at what Justin Fields is doing at Ohio State in a system that certainly lends itself to putting up numbers like that. And then you look at Jake Fromm and you're going, meh. I mean, he's only 20 of 26 for, you know, 217 yards, whatever. What's lost in all that is that doesn't mean he's not capable of doing more. And you can see it when he's playing. Is his deep ball. That was the area that everybody said he needs to dial that in. And frankly, you just haven't had a chance to see a lot of it. You saw it a couple of times, certainly saw it a couple of times versus Notre Dame, where the ball could not have been placed better on some covered throws. And he and the Cager kid clearly have some chemistry. But there's a reason why quarterbacks and coaches keep hammering away that this guy's underappreciated. And it's not because he's just a great caretaker based on the connotations that most people would assign to caretaker. It's because this kid's a really good quarterback. We just haven't had to have him do it to win any games.
Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. The beauty of the SEC is the matchup we're going to see on Saturday. Florida, their defense, we're going to find out just how good it is. Conversely, LSU, we're going to find out just how good that offense really is come Saturday night in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and it's a defense that is going to pressure you. It's just what they do. And even when they were down C.J. Henderson for two and a half games at cornerback, they lost him early, and it was, we just pressure anyway. So we got new guys in the back end that might not know what's going on. Oh, well, here comes the heat. That's Todd Grantham's M.O. And versus a team in LSU that has proven to be, I think, light years ahead of what anyone would have anticipated. And part of that's a function of it's LSU, because we've heard this story before. LSU offensively, they're going to be better this year. It's an old, tired trope, except this year it's been real, and they actually are incredibly explosive. And you look at the top two receivers in the conference, and they both play at LSU statistically, not from a talent standpoint. This is the same team that had Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. at the same time, and they still were not an explosive offense.
Isn't the big question, though, if they get down 14 and LSU really is now a push-it offense, and they certainly look to be, Florida's got a problem, unless your defense then turns around and makes the play or two for you. Is that fair?
No doubt. Absolutely. And that's exactly what they would expect. And potentially it's a reasonable expectation. You look at LSU this year, they've played at Texas, right? And that's, I think, from a defensive standpoint, you think, who's the best group that you've faced so far? It's going to be Florida going away. And so we'll learn quite a bit just how good is this LSU offense to do what they've done versus a Vanderbilt, versus a Utah State, which incidentally the best performance the other day was their defense versus what looks to be an NFL prospect at quarterback for Utah State. That's the element that needed a round in the form. But offensively, just how good are they? Well, this will be an interesting measuring stick because Florida, when healthy, has got one of the best and most talented defenses I think, in the conference, maybe even in the country. They've got a guy at outside linebacker and Jonathan Grenard from Hiram High School in Georgia that I think is on track to be the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. The guy can do it all. He's like Josh Allen from Kentucky a year ago. Not quite as good, but darn good. You know, what does it look like? And Joe Burrow, as good as he's been, versus a team that wants to pressure you but can pressure you just with their down four. They don't have to bring a blitz to get to you. That will be an interesting thing to watch on Saturday.
Before we ask you what game you have, I know they're not all created equally. Far from it. There's personalities. Do you believe that most college guys have a vision of coaching in the NFL, or are there guys who just say, nope, this is what I am and this is what I want to be?
You said visions of coaching in the NFL?
Yeah, being a head coach in the NFL. Do you think there are guys who just, I'm a college coach and I'm good, or do you think, I think most think about the NFL. I don't know how many get asked, and I don't know if that trend is going to change at all. But do you think there are certain, do you think every guy thinks about trying his stuff in the NFL no matter what level he's coaching at?
I don't know. I think it would depend. That's an interesting question. I do know that when you talk to coaches, the guys that have experienced both or are close with coaches that have been at the opposite level, either an NFL coach who's got some close friends at college or vice versa, it's pretty universal that if you want more of, you want more free time, you want more of a life, you coach in the pros. But if you want more control, you coach in college. And I think it depends on what matters more and what's better, what are you better suited towards. You could look at a Nick Saban, and I don't think it's based on win-loss. I think it's based on approach. He's well-suited for college. I think it makes a lot of sense for him to have the success in college. I don't know that it's independent of any opportunity to win at the NFL. But it just seems like that approach, it plays a lot better at the collegiate level than it ever would in the NFL. There's all kinds of different dynamics. But because of that, it's kind of a know thyself question. And if you know yourself well enough and you recognize where your strengths are and how you typically want to operate, where would you do well? And I think fundamentally the college game is distinct from the NFL in that regard.
What do you got this weekend?
Tennessee hosting Mississippi State. We'll see if Tennessee can continue on what looked to be a promising first half. We'll give them a quarter and a half of pretty darn good football versus Georgia the other day, and a Mississippi State team that probably could not have started worse versus Auburn their last time out. So curious to see how both of these teams rebound with their backup quarterbacks.
Brian Maurer, poor kid. He got that hit and took that hit from Eric Stokes, and they said, all right, son, your night's done.
He looked like Colt Brennan in the Sugar Bowl a couple of years ago. It was just a brutal shot that he took. And you hope the kid's able to bounce back from it, because otherwise he gave that University of Tennessee offense some life. They definitely were playing differently around him.
It's the cleanest big hit that I've seen in football in a long time. I imagine somebody was tempted to throw a flag just because.
But it was perfect.
It was incredible.
It was. You know, that's a good way to put it. And I will say, I'm glad you said that big hits, they're not completely out of the game. You know, targeting is not in there to remove the big hits. It's to remove the dangerous hits. Now, that was, if you're the quarterback, there's no doubt it's dangerous. And it was a pretty violent collision. It's part of the game, and you're signed up for that. But if you're playing the game right, I think that's the way the big hits should look, and certainly that's the way it unfolded.
All right, Matt, enjoy Knoxville. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Matt Stinchcomb joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line, the College Football Hall of Famer, each and every Tuesday.